This is a lengthy chapter, has 71 verses in it. Jesus Christ feeds a multitude of people. Then Jesus Christ portrays himself as the bread of life. The main thought, the main theme of this sixth chapter of John is that Jesus is the bread of life. For the sake of time, and because it is a lengthy passage of Scripture, I think we'll read verse 60 through 71 for our text. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back, walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Keep your place there and don't go away. That's going to be our main passage today. And you don't even have to turn there if you don't want to, but I want to read from 1 John chapter 2. We laid the premise for this morning's message last Sunday morning. We laid the premise and the thought for last Sunday morning's message, as well as this one, last week. And we're going to try not to spend too much time laying that foundation again. But I want you to make sure, I want to make sure we're all on the same page here concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the name of Jesus Christ, concerning who Jesus is, what Jesus taught, why Jesus came. Last week we preached on the subject, Jesus saves. And in those two words you find the whole gospel. Jesus saves. Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who did we consider Jesus was last Sunday morning? Who needs to be saved in relationship to that statement? In relationship to Christ, who is it that stands in need of salvation, even this morning? How is one saved? We consider that as it's found in that passage of Scripture. Jesus saves, but we need to know who Jesus is. We need to understand what the Bible teaches us about Jesus. Make sure we're not confused. Make sure we're guarding against being drawn away from faithfulness to Christ by the world, even by the religious world that is around us. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Everywhere you look, I don't believe I'm exaggerating, everywhere you look, you find Jesus Christ in the day and time in which we're living. I used the statement last week, he's flooding the market, or the market is flooded with Jesus. Movies are being made, television series are being made, live streams are being sent out. Everywhere you find the message of Jesus Christ. There are marketing campaigns speaking of Jesus. And I continue to find Christ. I continue to find representations of Christ. I continue to find Jesus being portrayed or being marketed in the world. As the days progress, it doesn't seem to be letting up. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. And some of these things where Christ is being portrayed or the gospel is being focused on are vile, filthy, just ungodly stuff. And I said before, I'll say it again, I believe the reason Jesus Christ is flooding the market is because we're being conditioned, or society is being conditioned for the Antichrist, for a substitute Christ, for an imitation Christ. Not only is society being conditioned, but the gospel is being weakened, and the gospel is being polluted. And Jesus Christ is not preached as divine. He's not preached as God in the flesh. He's not preached as man's only hope. He's not preached as the only Savior. He's not preached as the only way of being saved. The devil is doing a masterful job. The world is doing a masterful job in clouding and muddying the waters in relationship to Jesus Christ. The principal message of this church is Jesus saves. And we need to be clear on that. And we need to be clear on who that Jesus is. We're living in the day and time where Christ, I guess I would put it this way, Christ is being more humanized than ever before. And the deity of Christ, the fact that he was God in the flesh, is being ignored and undermined more than ever before. All of this talk and all of this focus on Jesus Christ is accomplishing making Christ more and more like us. More and more human. And that's a dangerous thing. Yes, he was God in the flesh. Yes, he became a man. But we do much disservice to who Christ is and why Christ came, by over-humanizing him. We make Jesus Christ sinful. We make Jesus Christ passionate. We make Jesus Christ lustful. We make Jesus Christ more like us and less like God. In all of this, focusing in on Jesus Christ. We come to this passage of Scripture today, John chapter 6, where Christ is presenting himself as the bread of life. Christ is presenting himself as the only source of life, where Jesus Christ is portraying himself plainly as, if you don't have me, you don't have life. We find in this passage of Scripture that question that Jesus asked, will you also go away? Will you also go away? He's portraying himself as the bread of life. He's portraying himself as the only Savior, the only source of life. He's portraying himself as the one God must bring a sinner to, and there are no others. God must bring the sinner to him to receive him, to believe in him in order to be saved. And we find he was not popular. We find in our passage of Scripture this morning a great falling away. We find the masses coming to the crossroads where they didn't really like the version of Christ that he was portraying of himself. They didn't really like what he was saying. We're at a passage of Scripture where the multitudes begin to forsake Christ. And Christ turns and asks some people, will you also go away? With all this focus on Christ, and all the changing and the altering of who Christ really is, in this day and time where people are forsaking the true Christ, the biblical Christ, for another version of Christ or the world's version of Christ, he asked the question, will you also go away? To whom is he speaking? When he says, will ye also go away? In verse number 67, words of red, will ye also go away, is the question that Christ asked. Who's the ye? The ye are the 12, not the masses. The masses seemingly have forsaken Christ. The masses were offended by Christ. The masses couldn't understand, they couldn't accept, they couldn't believe what Christ was saying. They began to go away by mass. And it is to the 12 apostles in particular that he asked them, will ye also go away? To whom is he comparing them to in the word also? Will ye? The ye is the 12 apostles. Will ye also? Who's he comparing them to in the also? We read there in verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? The word also is in reference to the multitude of disciples. The mass of people who claim to be disciples of Jesus. The multitude of those who claim to be followers and believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 60. Same chapter. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, Does this offend you? Verse 66, And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So he's comparing the 12 to the masses of the disciples that were going away and asked them, Will you go away also? Will you go away also? From whom did they depart? As he says to the 12, in comparison to the disciples, will you also go away? Will you go away like them? From whom did they depart? They had departed from Jesus Christ. They had left Jesus Christ. Verse 67 again makes it very plain. Then said Jesus. Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to the 12, comparing them to the masses and the multitudes of disciples. And he says, Will you also go away from me? Will you be offended at my version of who I am? Will you be offended at my doctrine? Will you be offended at exclusivity of who the real Jesus is? Will you go away from me? Verse 41 says, They murmured at Jesus. Verse 52, They strove amongst themselves concerning Jesus. Verse number 60, The masses of the so-called disciples, they said, This is a hard saying. We don't like it. It's hard to understand. We can't grasp it. We can't understand it. We don't want to understand it. Verse 61, they murmured. Verse 64, they believed not. So it's to the 12 that Jesus Christ compares to the masses of disciples and asks them, Will you, like these, go away or depart from me? Are you going to leave me? Will you also leave me? That's a sobering question. To have Jesus look you in the eye, as I believe he did, and say to these 12, Will you go away? Will you leave me? Are you going to leave me? You notice in this passage of Scripture, they were offended and they took offense because Jesus really wasn't what they expected. They weren't finding in Christ the fulfillment of what they thought the Messiah should be all about. They didn't like the doctrine of Christ. They didn't like the teaching of Christ. They wanted a different version of Christ. That's why there's so many Christs in the world today, so many gospels being preached. Because they don't really like the biblical Christ. They're offended at the biblical Christ, so they want a different version, one that's palatable, one that's more human than godlike. Verse number 44, they didn't like what Jesus Christ said here. After telling them not to murmur among yourselves, he said in verse 44, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's pretty inclusive. Nobody, none of you folks standing here before me at this time when he was addressing the multitudes, none of you, no human being can come unto me unless God in his sovereignty, draw. Let God work. You're not going to come of yourself. You're not going to come by your own works. You're not going to come by loving God first and then his loving you. He states that in verse number 44, no one can come to me except the Father draw him. And if that wasn't enough, or that wasn't clear enough, we see him repeating the exact same thing in verse 65. Therefore said I unto you, let me repeat what I told you before. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back. Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here's that word except again. You find it in the two previous verses I just mentioned. And you find it in society today. They don't like that word except. No man can come unto Christ except unless the Father draw them. Nobody is going to be saved unless God brings them to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not up to one's own goodness or one's own merit or one's own works. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you unless you accept me. Unless you receive me, unless it's through me, you don't have life. You're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're going to stay dead in your trespasses and sins. Except the Father draw you to me, except you come through me. He's pretty narrow here. And it's because of that narrowness that they were retreating. And leaving Jesus Christ. Now in verse number 11, verse 68. Verse 68, you find the correct response to the question, will ye also go away? Here's the right answer. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no one else we can go to because you're the one with the words of life. That's the right answer. But there was one of the 12 with the incorrect response. His name was Judas. Verse 70, Jesus says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that would betray him, being one of the 12. Will you also go away? Will you also go away? He was speaking to the 12, comparing them to the masses that were leaving Jesus because they didn't like that version of Jesus. He asked them, will you leave me? Will you leave me? What do you identifies as the reason they left was because he believed in a God and preached a God who had to draw and had to work, and nobody would be saved and nobody would come to Christ unless the Father worked. Will you also leave me? Will you be offended at my message? Unless you believe in me, you're never going to be saved. Last week, Jesus saves. You still find that in the message this morning. It's Jesus who saves, not someone else. It's the Jesus of the Bible that saves, not another version of Jesus. It's the Jesus of the Bible, not a Jesus that's popular in the day and age in which we live. It's the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of Scripture, not one of the Jesus that society is endorsing. The Jesus of Scripture, not the Jesus of the latest movement, the latest movie. It's the Jesus of Scripture, not Jesus of the latest television series. It's the Jesus of Scripture, the Son of God. He it is that saves. Not one of those Jesuses that are being advertised. Jesus saves. There are many here this morning who came into the service today in the same condition they came last week. Lost in their sins. Dead in their trespasses and sins. You heard that Jesus saves last week. But there are many who remain lost. There are many here today who are still in their sins, who have not believed that Jesus saves. And you can't, and you won't, believe in Jesus Christ until God works. But we keep preaching Jesus, praying that God will work. We keep praying Jesus, preaching Jesus, praying that each service we come together might be the service. God opens your eyes to see Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're lost, you'll be saved the same way anybody has ever been saved. It'll be by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of Scripture, the Jesus of John chapter 6. If you're waiting on another Jesus, salvation's never going to come. If you're waiting for a more palatable Jesus, if you're looking for a Jesus that's more acceptable to the world, you're never going to find him and you're going to die lost. Jesus saves. The Jesus of Scripture saves. There are no others to come. There never has been another that come or will come. And if you're to be saved this morning, you're going to have to realize you're a sinner. God's going to have to work within your heart. All have sinned, that means you. Because of sin, all come short of the glory of God, come short of the perfection of God. That means you. The wages of sin is death. That means you're dead spiritually. And you face the second death when you leave this life. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're going to be saved, you're going to need to see yourself a sinner. You're going to have to repent and turn in faith, believing Jesus Christ died for you, and experience salvation the Bible way. But it's not going to be with a new revised version of Jesus. Or a new improved version of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the only Jesus there's ever been. The Jesus of the Bible. Can you see yourself a sinner? Can you? I'm not going to qualify everything I have to say by making sure, well, this is true and this is true and this won't happen unless... That's not the way Christ is presented in the Bible. The way Christ is presented in the Bible is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They don't go into all the qualifying statements, well, you can't believe unless this and this happens, unless all the planets align together and everything just falls into place. What must I do to be saved, the jailer asked? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be saved today, if you're ever going to be saved, I'll just tell you like it is. See yourself a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. And you'll have everlasting life. But there's no halfways to that. You can't see yourself a sinner and then think, well, I got to do something. No, you can't do anything. You see yourself a sinner, you've got to go all the way with Christ in salvation. You've got to see Jesus dying for your sins. And there's nothing you can do about your sins but believe in Jesus Christ. And when you see yourself a sinner and you believe Jesus died for me, you have everlasting life and you're saved and you'll be saved. But this Jesus who is everywhere is not the Jesus of Scripture. Because this Jesus of Scripture was offensive and people didn't like him and they rejected him and they departed him and they fled from him even in the New Testament. When Christ himself literally, physically, when Jesus was here, they didn't like him. They didn't like his version. They didn't like his doctrine. They didn't like his teaching. And I think the market is full of Jesus and messages of Jesus is in preparation for the coming of Jesus, the judgment of God upon the world for rejecting Jesus. And just to put it in human terms, the Jesus of the day, I think, is being preached because the devil wants to keep lost people lost. Because an imitation Jesus, another version of Jesus, doesn't save. And if he can present a different version of Jesus, other than Jesus Christ, an antichrist, an antitype, if he can present that kind of a Jesus and get people to embrace that kind of Jesus instead of the real Jesus, he'll keep them lost. Just humanly speaking. Will you go away? Will you go away from here this morning lost? Rejecting the Christ of the Gospels, rejecting the Christ of the Scriptures, maybe embracing your own version or another version of Christ. People come to church and people go. It's been going on for centuries. They've been coming and they've been going. They've been coming and they've been going away. Rejecting Christ. Looking and hoping for another version, something more palatable, something more pleasing. Did you come here today lost in your sins, in need of a Savior? Will you go away today from Jesus, from the Jesus of Scripture, from the Jesus who is speaking, I'm the bread of life? Nobody has life without receiving me. Will you go away? But I want you to take this question. And apply it to us as God's people. It's the disciples, more particularly the apostles, that Jesus Christ asked, will ye also go away? I'd like to come, get down on the floor here, and I'd like to come and sit down beside every one of you. I'd like to make you uncomfortable. I'd like to come and sit down right beside you, every single one of you here that named the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to do that, and I'd like to look you in the eye, and I'd like to ask you the question that Jesus asked the disciples here. Will you also go away? The Jesus of the day is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is broadly rejected, despised, too narrow, too restrictive. But Jesus asked the question, will you go away? I believe Jesus Christ is coming again, closer than it's ever been before. I believe we're living in the day and time where the Antichrist of the tribulation is already alive and on earth, waiting for his presentation. In the last couple weeks, I read about and I watched reports about members of Netanyahu's government. They brought up legislature in Israel to forbid the witnessing, the proselyting of people to Jesus Christ. And this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a myth. I've verified it. It's been broadly or spread all over the place. I've watched Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, I think that's what they call him, who's in the present government of Israel, refuse that and deny that. Kept it from happening. It failed. But just think about how close they came to passing a law in Israel where you couldn't tell somebody about Jesus. They were so serious about this, if you were convicted, they were going to put you in prison for a year. If you were caught proselyting or witnessing or evangelizing somebody under 18 years of age, they were going to give you 2 years in prison. That's what a part of the legislation was. It failed. But how close did they come to having a law where speaking about Jesus was forbidden? How close is that to the coming of Jesus Christ? But I believe he's coming. All of this talk about Jesus and the gospel and all of these multi-messages are signs he's coming. Well, let's say I'm a little off. It's not going to be for another 10 years. Well, if you're here and you're saved and you name the name of Jesus Christ, where are you going to be standing in 10 years? Will you also go away? For thousands of years, people have been leaving Jesus. They left him during his personal ministry. All but the 12 left him, according to this passage of Scripture. And when it came right down to his crucifixion, even the inner circle, even his mother and other women of following of Christ, they pulled away. Jesus died all alone. Not playing on your sympathies, I'm telling you like it is. I'm telling you like the Scriptures tell us. And for thousands of years, over 2,000 years now, people have been leaving Jesus. Will you go away? Our church is celebrating its 60th anniversary come this summer. And you don't have to take my word for it. The church minutes are in the file cabinet in the office. And you can go back through them the whole 60 years of the history of this church. And you will find that many, many, many have gone away from Christ. Who used to be, but they're not here now. Multitudes, literally multitudes. It would be far more than is in attendance today. It would be a far greater number of those that have left Christ. Will you also go away? For thousands of years, people have been leaving Jesus. Will you leave him? Because for thousands of years in Scripture and in application, Jesus has been asking the question, look at these people, they went away. Look back over the past 60 years. Look at these number of people that have gone away. And Jesus still asks the question this morning, will you go away? Will you go away? Oh, don't be like Peter and jump up and say, I'll never forsake the Lord, because Peter forsook the Lord. He wasn't up to that challenge, was he? He denied the Lord three times with cursing, with real emphasis. I don't know the man. Will you go away? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Pastors come and go. Pastors are here and pastors live and pastors die. Churches come and go. Church members come and go. The question isn't, what has the pastor done, or what is the pastor doing, or what has the church done, or what is the church doing? The question is, will you go away? The Lord doesn't come soon. There's a day not too far in the future where I'm just going to be a forgotten memory. Will you still be here? Will you still be here? Or will you go away? For thousands of years, people have been leaving Jesus, and for thousands of years, Jesus has been asking the same question. And I have to say, for thousands of years, the response has been the same. Biblically speaking, historically speaking, the response that you find here in this passage of Scripture has been the response throughout history. When Jesus asked the question, will you also go away? Most have. And most do. But when Jesus asked the question, there's a few who remain. For thousands of years, people have been leaving Jesus. Will you leave Jesus? Or will you remain true to your profession of faith? Your statement of relationship with Jesus Christ. For thousands of years, people have been leaving Jesus. And Jesus has been asking the same question. And most people down through those thousands of years have been leaving Jesus. The minority, by the grace of God, have remained over the years. Which group will you be in? Which group will you be in? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you also go away? Who's the ye? Well, an application of this morning's message, you're the ye. You're the ye. Will ye? Will you also go away? Will you go away like many have before? What will your answer be? By the grace of God, I'm going to stand with Jesus and for Jesus and live for Jesus and look for Jesus. or will you go away? However many years it is until Jesus Christ returns, as the history of Faith Baptist Church continues to be written, where will you be in the pages? Will you be amongst those who leave the Lord? Or will you be among those who remain? Where are you? Where will you be? Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.